Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Pastor Chris, and welcome to the next step in the sermon series, Don't Give Up. Today, we'll be talking about perspective. You know, in researching perspective and in preparation for this sermon, I learned a couple of things. There's actually two perspectives that we need to keep in mind. One is kind of an overarching perspective. And this perspective we can't control. And the other part of perspective is one that we can control, and we'll get into that in a couple of minutes. You know, before we start the sermon, today's sermon, would you please join me in a word of prayer? Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we need you. You know, Jesus, when you said that in this world there would be trouble, boy, is that the truth. We have a lot of civil unrest, and of course, we're still struggling with the COVID-19 virus and the repercussions. And, you know, we pray that as states begin to reopen, that nobody gets sick and or dies. Lord, we need you to heal this land. And Father God, forgive us. Forgive us for thinking that we're in control and we know better than you. Lord, we need you and we need to be restored back to you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for reconciling us back to the Father. We love you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, so in setting the stage for perspective, you know, our lives here are not easy. I think we can all agree on that. You know, good things or bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Things happen, you know. Our circumstances can take a nosedive on us. There's all kinds of perils in this world. And Jesus told us this. He taught us this. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus taught and said, I have told you these things so you may have peace in me. In the world, you will have much trouble. See, there it is. But take heart, I have power over the world. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, Jesus also said, there will be wars and rumors of war. So this is not, you know, the concept of there being struggle and strife in this world and sin in this world is, it's not a new concept, and Jesus taught about this. And was very upfront with us about that. You know, Jesus also told us where our hope lies. You know, granted, there is sin and suffering in this world, to be sure. But there's also, there is joy and blessings, of course. But Jesus taught us that our hope need, we need to have our hope in the next world and in heaven and not in this world. This from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know, when I was reading this, and I'm going to digress just a little bit here because I think it's really, really important, really fascinating. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. When he was saying this, he was saying this to the disciples. It was either in the upper room during the Passover meal. It also could have been as they were walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus knew something when he said this. You know, when he said this, in a matter of hours, Judas would betray him. And not only did Judas betray Jesus, he betrayed all his friends. To have a friend do something like that, that would cause my heart to be troubled. Also, Jesus will be taken away from the disciples and killed. That had to really, really impact their world and cause them to be troubled. Also, in a matter of hours, Peter will deny Jesus three times. His failure in the courtyard, you know, perhaps the biggest blunder of all mankind, of all time, was Peter denying Jesus three times. And as he said this, do not let your hearts be troubled, I can just kind of see Jesus' piercing gaze looking at Peter. And then also, in a matter of hours, the disciples are going to scatter and they're going to leave Jesus. You know, when they regrouped, they had to feel really, really guilty. So I can see how, you know, when Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled, you know, he knew what was about to happen. I think it's very clear that, you know, in this world, we're going to have to deal with loss and failure and disappointment and betrayal. All these things are woven into the fabric of our lives. And Jesus told us, this is how it's going to be. Knowing this, I think it's really important, especially for a Christian, to have this perspective. You know, that even though we're Christians, bad things are going to happen to us. We can't let that rattle our faith and shake our faith in any way, shape, or form. These things are going to happen. I said in a previous sermon that being a Christian doesn't change the things that happen to us. It changes the us that things happen to. So as long as we keep that perspective, our faith will be rock solid. And we see that in Hebrews 11 with the heroes of the faith. You know, that's the heroes of the faith chapter. Love the book of Hebrews. But the heroes of the faith, you know, by faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Rahab wasn't put to death for protecting the spies. By faith that. All those heroes of the faith, they understood that perspective, and they relied on God and not themselves. As I was researching for this sermon, I like words. I know that's kind of weird, but the etymology of words and where they come from and what their meanings are. And I looked up the definition for the word perspective. And there were a lot of definitions for the word perspective. As a working definition for this morning, I landed on this one. I think it does a pretty good job. It goes like this. A particular attitude toward or way of regarding something, a point of view. I think that fits for what we're about to talk about. You know, in the myriad of definitions, you know, Merriam-Webster had like 10 different definitions for the word perspective. As I thought this through, I landed on that there's actually two definitions for perspective that we can control. The first perspective I talked about earlier, that's out of our control. You know, bad things happen to good people, etc. But there's two types of perspective that we do have control over. It's a choice. The first one is a self-centered perspective. Second one is a God-centered perspective. You know, a number of years ago, the tabloids had run a story. Essentially, they had outed Woody Allen for having a relationship with his stepdaughter. Can't recall her name, but, you know, one of the tabloids had run that story, and a reporter asked Woody Allen, you know, why did you do this? You know, what was your rationale? And Woody Allen said, well, the heart wants what the heart wants. Isn't that profound? There's a lot of truth to that, that the heart wants what the heart wants. If we want to be self-centered and have a self-centered perspective, we're going to choose that. If, however, our heart is for God, we're going to have a God-centered perspective. And speaking of our heart, you know, the sixth beatitude, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the pure in heart, what Jesus is talking about here is blessed are those who have given their heart to God instead of giving their heart to themselves, doing God's will instead of doing their will. And all the blessings that come with that. And you will see God, And when it comes to perspective, having clean sight is a good thing. So now we're going to talk a little bit about a self-centered perspective. And I have an illustration that I put together. I spent a lot of time on this. Where is that? Here it is. Okay, can everybody see that? I hope so. Spent hours on this. Okay. A self-centered perspective, we're in the valley. Okay, and in the valley we have fog, sometimes light, sometimes heavy. We have dust. We have branches in our way. You know, in the valley it's hard to get a good, clean perspective. When we have a God-centered perspective, are you laughing at my drawing? You're laughing, aren't you? Anyway, at a God-centered perspective, we're on the mountain. Okay, there's no fog. The line of sight is crystal clear. There's no dust, and we can see for miles and miles and miles. So there's my art for the day. Okay, so we're going to talk about self-centered perspective. Looks somewhat like this. We rely on our own strength. You know, we're independent. We're individuals. We rely on our own strength and our own abilities. And by the way, when we do that, our strength and our abilities are finite, aren't they? And we take all the credit when things go well. And the radio station that we listen to every day is WIIFM. What's in it for me? It's all about us. By the way, with a self-centered perspective, we're easily manipulated. We're easily manipulated by our flesh, by the enemy of our soul, Satan, and by the world. We say to ourselves, you know, my success is all because of me. We look in the mirror and say, you know, I really am incredible. A sign of having a self-centered perspective is being easily offended. If we're easily offended, it is really time for us to look in the mirror, find out what's really going on. And by the way, when trouble hits or circumstances go dire, we do one of these. We blame others or we complain about it. It's very important when things are going good and, you know, our 401ks are doing well and we have a house or a place to live, we have a car, that we give thanks to God. Mankind has a history of not doing that, however. As we all know, I want to read something. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 through 18. And this entire chapter is really a solid and sound and important chapter. And it's essentially about giving God credit, not forgetting what God has done for us. Listen to this. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. God knows that we're going to forget about him. You know, it's very easy for us to do that. We have to pause and thank God for everything he's given to us. So now let's take a look at a God-centered perspective. You know, we're on the mountaintop, as I had mentioned. You know, there's no fog. Line of sight is good. We're not dependent on ourselves, we're dependent on God. And by the way, God's power and strength is infinite, and his ability is infinite. You know, the heroes of the faith, as I had mentioned earlier, they had a God-centered perspective, did they not? They really, truly did. And by the way, when I say God, a God-centered perspective, I mean the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we have a God-centered perspective. We've surrendered to Christ. This is from John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. That's kind of important for perspective, right? But will have the light of life. Also, when we surrender to Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. John 14, verses 15 through 17. Go like this. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, Spirit lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit lives within us when we accept Christ. That's right. Jesus lives within us via the Holy Spirit. We go through our lives knowing that we've got the Holy Spirit in us to face any obstacles that we may have, to give us wisdom, to sustain us when we're down. This is really, really important. And you know, this is authentic Christianity. It really, truly is. You know, it's more than Christianity is, you know, more than saying that Jesus was a great teacher and set a great example for how to live. That all that is true. But Jesus was much more than that. An authentic Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling within him because they've accepted Christ and they love Jesus. And this is what you get. You become transformed. You become regenerated. Same word, be born again. That's authentic Christianity. To say that Jesus was a great teacher, philosopher, that's wrong. It's wrong to say that, you know. And it's patronizing to Jesus and who he is to this day. Jesus is much more than an ethic and a way of life and a philosophy. And thank God for that. Okay, God-centered perspective. When you surrender to Jesus, you live by the golden rule, right? And I know we don't do this all the time. You know, we still walk around in the flesh. We still sin, of course. It's a journey. But for the most part, we live by the golden rule. And when we fall, we repent. We confess our sin to the Father, and we repent. We turn away from our sin and look right at God. Mark 12:30-31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So we can see that the God-centered perspective is just a little bit different than the self-centered perspective, right? So let's take a look at a real-life example of how this would play out, a self-centered perspective versus a God-centered perspective. Real life example here. Let's say you're sitting at an intersection and it's a red light. And you look up and you see a homeless person with a sign that says, thank you for giving, God bless you. That's typically, you know, what you see. And as a self-centered person, you see a homeless beggar. Here's what goes through our mind, self-centered perspective. We judge them right away. Without having any information about their lives, we judge them. We say, ugh, you're dirty. Can't you wash your clothes? You must be really lazy. And what's wrong with you? It's 90 degrees out and you're wearing a black winter coat. You're probably an alcoholic or a drug addict. Why can't you get a job? And you probably have no self-control whatsoever. You know, why should I give him any money or give her any money? I work hard for my money. Besides, if I give that person a couple of dollars, they'll probably go buy alcohol or some drugs with it. No, I'm not giving them anything. You know, they've made their bed. They need to live in it. They need to lie in it. Now, a God-centered perspective would go something like this. You know, you're sitting at the red light and you see a poor soul that is asking for a little bit of money. A little bit of encouragement, and you look at them and you say, wow, you know, it's 90 degrees out, and the person's wearing a black winter coat, probably have a mental illness, and, you know, I would imagine that it's quite possible that this person was abused as a child, you know, maybe abused sexually, physically, mentally, very well could be an alcoholic. Have the disease of alcoholism, you know, or drug addiction, or maybe that person has just been beaten down by life. I know how hard life can get, and wow, but for the grace of God go I. If I hadn't had a couple of breaks in my life, or if I had made a couple of choices that were bad, that very well could be me. And so what we do is we say, you know what, I don't care if it's been a moral failure or a disease or bad luck. Doesn't matter. I'm here. I'm a Christian. you roll down your window and you give this person, you know, a couple of dollars or what you have, and maybe more. You ask them their name. You know, you tell them that in the kingdom of God they're important and that you'll be praying for them. Do you see the difference between a self-centered perspective and a God-centered perspective? So I'm going to summarize here. You know, Jesus said it won't be easy. But if we invite him into our lives, he'll be with us. He'll be with us in our very souls through the Holy Spirit. And when circumstances take a shot at us, and they will, okay, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear because God is with us. And remember, being a Christian doesn't change the things that happen to us. It changes the us that things happen to. Now, before we say our benediction together, it's been a while since we took a look at what the benediction means. You know, the first part of the benediction says, "May the Lord bless you and keep you." And the translation is, you know, "May you be under God's care and protection." Boy, do we need that now, right? With all the things that are going on in the world. Second stanza, "May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you." Translation, "When you sin," when we sin, "and we will, may God forgive us and show mercy to us," which he does every time. That is such good news. Sometimes I scratch my head. But I'm talking about myself. God is always, always willing to forgive me. Always. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. And then the last part of the benediction, we say, "May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." Translation of that is, may you have the peace of God. Would you like the peace of God in these trying times? I know I would. You know, God wants us to be at peace. You know, this is a fallen world. We all know that. He wants us to be at peace. He clearly loves us. Okay, he sent his son to die for us. He wants us to be at peace. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? Even God's capital city, Jerusalem, made up of two Hebrew words, Jeru and Shalom. Jeru means may you have. And shalom means the peace of God. Put them together, and it says, may you have the peace of God, God's capital city, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. May you have the peace of God. God wants us to be at peace. Now, if you would please, hold out your hands and say the benediction with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Be well and be blessed.